Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Matthew 22, and notice here, Jesus is telling us in verse 9, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we all know that, I don't have to ask this, we all know that we are to love others. We are to love our neighbor. But here, Jesus is saying, in essence, that we will not love others any more than we love ourselves. So in other words, to the degree we love ourselves will be to the degree we'll be able to love others. That's what he's telling us here. True? So the key to walking in love towards others is in loving yourself. If you don't like yourself, it's going to be tough for you to like the world around you. Loving the world starts with loving yourself. But that brings up another question. Should we love the world? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. If God loves the world, then you and I obviously should love the world too. God, his love for the world is what caused him to lay down his life for the world. And so when we're talking about loving others, then we're talking about loving the world of people that are all around us. But then, of course, we know that 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 15, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But wait a second, the Father loves the world so much, he gave his Son. So how can my loving the world not have the love of the Father? Notice what he goes on to say in John 12:25. He says, and he who hates his life, and he brings more clarity to it, in this world will keep it for eternal life. What's he talking about here? He's talking about loving this physical, natural life more than the God kind of life, eternal life. It's being in love with earthly, material, natural things. It's not talking about where you cannot love yourself. You need to love yourself. You need to love yourself, otherwise you're not going to be very good at loving others. You understand? So, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Over here in Matthew chapter 19, great example of someone who loved his life in this world. In other words, he was living for this world and not living for eternal life. For eternal things, for what really matters in life. Over here in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 16. And behold, one came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? For no one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and what? Give. And again, what, we've talked about this already in this series, but what determines perfection? What is perfect in the sight of God? Love. God's love is perfect. And so when we're walking in love, we're walking perfect. So Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect, you want to be perfect, you want to be mature in love, this is what you do. Give. Give. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. So that's key to perfection right there. Give. And to the poor. Who's that? Those are folks that can't give you anything in return. You have nothing to profit in this world by giving to these kind of people. You have nothing to profit. Give to the poor. Give to the poor. And of course, the poor isn't, you know, when we think of the poor, we think of the penniless, right? But it's not the penniless, it's the helpless. When the Bible talks about poor, it's talking about the helpless. It's because there's a lot of people that are poor because they're just dumb with their money. There's a lot of people that are poor because they don't tithe. They don't obey God. They're not doing what God says, do this. They don't do it. He says, now, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Well, they're not willing. They're not obedient. They do what they want to do. And as a result of that, they lack money. And then they walk around and say, hey, can you give me $5? Hey, can you give me $10? And then you think you're helping the poor because you help this disobedient believer. Right? We think we did something good. No, he's talking about the helpless. The helpless. In other words, they're in a situation they can't help themselves. Bible names a couple of them, talks about widows in their trouble. You know, they can't do for themselves. It talks about orphans, children that don't have a father, don't have a mother. You know, they're pretty helpless, aren't they? You know, we can talk about handicapped people. We can talk about all kinds, mentally, you know, people that are suffering mentally, and the list goes on. There's all kinds of helpless people in the world. And so Jesus is talking about giving to the poor, helping the helpless, because they obviously need help. They need your help. But at the same time, they are not going to be able to give you anything in return. So you have nothing to gain by giving to them. It is a completely sacrificial thing, giving to the poor. And that is the love of God. That's the love of God. And that is what determines perfection. And we can be perfect. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 6, that we are to be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect. How's our Father in heaven perfect? He is love. So we can be love. God has given us his love so we can be love on legs. We can walk in this love of God. We can master this love of God and become perfect. So here this man, he's saying, I've been doing all these things since my youth. Jesus tells him what to do to be perfect. He says, give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Of course, you have to follow the Lord. If you're going to grow in love, if you're going to walk in love, you're going to have to walk with the Lord, because all the love flows from him. So it's being in relationship with him, walking with him, following him, obeying him, that we're going to be able to walk in love. But verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So what happened here? Here this man, he's obeying all the commandments. He's doing, you know, he's doing the word the best he knows how. But here Jesus tells him, what to do to go on to perfection. And what does he choose? What does he choose over giving? What does he choose? He chooses the things of this world. He chooses the material things of this world. He wants to hang on to his jet ski. He wants to hang on to his camel. He wants to hang on to, you know, his things that he has, his nice house, his nice things. He couldn't imagine living life without these things. And as a result of that, he went without Jesus. He went without God. So he chose a love for the world, or a loving his life in this world, over the love of God, over eternal life. You say, wow, he must really have loved himself so much by not wanting to let go of these things. But the truth of the matter is, he treated himself very cheap. He sold himself very cheaply. He sold himself out to material, natural, fleshy, carnal things. That's the value he put on his life. He actually didn't love himself. He loved his fleshly, carnal, natural life in this world, but he didn't love himself enough to sacrifice those carnal, fleshly things for a greater life, for the God kind of life. By turning to Jesus and following him, we're agreeing with God that we are worth more than just this natural, carnal, fleshly life. We are worth the blood of the Son of God. We are worth the life of Jesus. We are worth living forever in eternity. We are worth being able to walk with God and have fellowship with this perfect, almighty God. That's how awesome we are. And we need to love ourselves enough to not love our life in this world so that we sell out to carnal, fleshly things. We're so much better than that. I said we're so much better than that. What people sacrifice and give up in God to be able to satisfy their natural cravings. It's so sad. But it shows how little value they place on themselves. They don't really value their life in this world. They really don't love themselves like God loves them. They just love their life in this world, or they love themselves according to the flesh. They only see their value as carnal, natural, fleshy. They don't see their value as being eternal and being as worth as much as God is worth. And that's how much you're worth to God. Are you worth that much to yourself? Are you worth that much to yourself? He laid down his life for you because he thought you were so valuable, because he loved you so much. And then you see, folks, they can't lay down a Taco Bell. They can't lay down some of the stupidest stuff for themselves. They don't value their lives. They don't love themselves. They see themselves as cheap and not very valuable. And as long as they do, they're not going to see the value in others either. And they're not going to see others as being worth sacrificing their life for. This man did not value himself, and therefore he surely wasn't going to sell what he had and give it to these worthless poor people. Why would I give all these things to them? They're not that valuable to me. And why was he that way towards others? Because he wasn't very valuable to himself, because he watched Jesus walk away. He watched eternal life walk away from him as he stayed back here with his camels, as he clung to carnal, natural things. There was no depth to his love for himself. So we need to learn to love ourselves and really value ourselves and recognize how precious, how wonderful, how amazing I am. The Son of God died for me. He tells me how great I am. And we need to judge ourselves based on God's word and his judgment towards us. We need to value ourselves according to God's value of us, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We got to judge ourselves according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Over here in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." Though I also, Paul talking here, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. And then he begins to name all these things that, you know, would give him confidence in the flesh. And after he lists all these things and says some other things, he turns around and says that he considers all these things worthless. All these things worthless. Why? They're just carnal, natural things. In other words, he's saying, I don't have confidence according to the flesh, according to my works. My confidence is according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. I worship in the Spirit. According to the Spirit. According to what God has done for me. Spiritually, I have eternal life. I am an eternal being. I am born again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. Man, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave his life for me. We judge ourselves based on the Spirit, according to eternity, according to God, according to his word, according to his love for us. And we see ourselves according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Not according to how much money we have, how many camels we have, according to natural things, but according to the Spirit. And it's time to start recognizing how amazing and how awesome you are. You need to start realizing that. Man, I am wonderful. You need to learn to hug yourself. Why don't you do it right now? Just say, oh, I just love myself. You can do it. Come on. How many of you feel a little hesitant saying that, saying something like that, like, I love myself? How many of you feel that little resistance there? Good. Double up. I love myself. I love myself. Why is that so tough? Because we understand that he who loves his life is going to lose it, see? And then we confuse that with this love of ourselves according to the Spirit. We confuse this loving ourselves according to the flesh, loving that carnal man, loving that fleshly man, loving that natural man, loving the things of this world. We confuse that with, over here, where Jesus says that we need to love ourselves in order to be able to love our neighbor properly, in order to be able to love others properly. See, when you love yourself, you're going to protect and you're going to guard your life. People don't love themselves, and that's why they open the door to the devil, allow sin to come in, allow the devil to come in. So many people are so self-destructive, it's ridiculous. They'll watch junk that's going to mess their minds up. They'll partake of things that will destroy. They'll hang out with people that'll treat them wrong. They'll receive all kinds of abuse, all kinds of things. Why? Because they don't love themselves. They don't love themselves. And then they sell out to the flesh. And in doing that, they are loving the world. They are loving the things of the world. And actually, by doing that, they are treating themselves as cheap. Treating themselves as being worth much less than what they really are worth, according to God. So we have to realize, man, I am wonderful. I'm worth fighting for. I'm worth resisting things that'll try to mess me up. I'm worth it. I'm worth fighting for. I'm not going to let something just come in here and rob me of the kind of life that God has for me. I'm worth it. I'm worth it. You know, I'm reminded of a prophet of God by the name of Kenneth Hagin. And he had a vision. And the Lord Jesus appeared before him. One of the first times the Lord appeared to him. And when he saw the Lord, he just fell down before him and said, "Oh, Lord." He said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." He said, "Lord, I'm so unworthy." That's what he said. He said, "I'm so unworthy to look upon your face. I'm so unworthy to look upon your face." And you know, a lot of us would feel like, you know, that's a pretty humble thing. That's a good thing. To have that kind of humility and that kind of attitude is a good thing. But you know what? It angered the Lord. And the Lord said to him, "Stand up on your feet." And told him not to say that he's unworthy. He said, "I made you worthy. I made you worthy. Don't say you're not worthy when I've made you worthy." Glory be to God, you and I are worthy to look upon the face of the Lord Jesus. You and I are worthy to look upon God, fellowship with God, handle the things of God. We've been made worthy through the blood of Jesus. Man, I'm worthy. Say that with me. Say, "I'm worthy. I'm worthy of God. I'm worthy of the goodness of God. I deserve the best." Yeah, you deserve the best. Not because of your works according to the flesh, but according to what God has done and is doing in your life. Is he doing anything in your life? Oh man, you need to glory in it. You need a glory in it. Hallelujah. You need to talk about it and be excited about what God is doing in your life. What's God doing in my life? And man, that'll cheer you up. That'll get you happy. You start talking about what God's doing in your life. You start talking about your faith and what you do believe in and the grace that you're connecting with. Oh man, you'll feel good about yourself, and you should feel great about yourself. And if you feel great about yourself, you're going to feel great about getting up in the morning. You're going to feel great about going out into the day, hallelujah. And chances are you're going to start feeling great about others. And start having a vision for others. Start caring about others. Start loving others, even as you love yourself. Notice over here in Romans 12. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'm so special, it's ridiculous. I mean, people don't like me. I don't get in a complex about it. I just think, my dear Lord, these poor folks, they can't see. They just can't see. They can't see how fearfully and wonderfully I've been made. They just can't see how powerful and important and wonderful and such a blessing I am. But I just don't feel that way about me. Because you know why? Because you're looking at yourself according to works and according to the flesh. And you're looking at all the shortcomings. And you look at all the areas where you're not living up to the standard that you want to live up to. The standard God's put before you. And there's areas where you're falling short and you ain't doing it. And as a result of that, you feel like crud about yourself. You just feel lousy about yourself because of it. Happen to know what I'm talking about there? Friend, that needs to stop. We got to stop judging ourselves according to the flesh. Stop judging ourselves according to the flesh. and judge yourselves according to the Spirit. Hold your place in Romans, and now let's move on to 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But we'll be back here. Verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. No, it's everything's for God and for others. Sounds like love to me, doesn't it? Just not worried about myself. Not worried about myself. If we're beside ourselves, it's for God. If we're of a sound mind, it's for you. If we got our act together, it's only because it's for your sake, to help you. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us. Constrains us or compels us. I like constrains. It'll constrain you. It'll hold you back from a lot of things. It'll constrain you. It'll compel you to do some things, and it'll constrain you from not doing some things. That's what the love of God does, because that's what we're led by. We're led by love. See, he said, it's all for God's sake and for your sake. Our whole life is for others. We're not worried about ourselves. We're not worried about ourselves anymore. And that's love. We judge us that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. See, that's love. Not living for ourselves. Not living for this world. Not living for the flesh. But living for him. Living for God. Living for the Spirit. Verse 16, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. So notice that, therefore now we regard no one according to the flesh. From now on we don't regard anyone according to the flesh. And you know where that starts? That starts with you. Not regarding yourself according to the flesh. Not regarding yourself according to the flesh. We don't regard anyone. We're not judging anyone according to the flesh anymore. We're judging people based on God's judgment of them. And God judged them worthy of the death of his son. People are precious. People are valuable. People are important. And you know what? I don't care who they are. If they're alive and there's something good going on in their life, and there's something good going on and going on through everybody's life in the world, some more than others. But whatever good thing's going on, it's the grace of God that's at work in that person's life. And that's a good thing. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing what's God doing. What's God doing? There's a lot of negative things, a lot of bad things, even in the church world. You can look, say, this church, that church, and you can look and see all the negative things that's going on. But then you got to stop and say, yeah, but what's God doing? Where's God in there? Where's God in this person? What's God doing? Man, if God's doing something then that in that person's life, then that's an awesome thing. That's a valuable thing. That's a powerful thing. That's a precious thing. That's a wonderful thing. And we see that. And that makes us, it makes it easy for us to love other people. When we don't judge them according to the flesh. But that's not going to happen until you stop judging yourself according to the flesh. You got to stop judging yourself according to the flesh. What you're not, what you don't have, what you're not doing, where you fall short, where you, all your weaknesses. Anybody have any weaknesses? Yeah, according to the flesh, dear Lord. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world. What's he talking about there? What are these foolish things of the world that God's chosen? You. 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 You little unwise, foolish thing. No, seriously. Go back to verse 26. He says, for you see your calling. He's talking about you. You see, you're calling brethren. You're a brethren. That not many wise according to the what? Ah, the flesh. The flesh. According to the flesh, some of you are not very wise. You say, no, I graduated with this and I graduated with that. That's nice. That just means you're an intelligent idiot. There's a lot of intelligent idiots. Did you know that? Oh. Not many wise according to the flesh. You might as well know it. He's talking about you now. You, according to the flesh. According to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things, my margin says, the insignificant or lowly things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory or rejoice or boast in his presence. In other words, the flesh cannot boast because the flesh has so many weaknesses and it's so foolish. You, according to the flesh, you poor thing, according to the flesh, are a mess. So if you judge yourself according to the flesh, what are you going to see? You're going to see foolish. You're going to see a lot of foolishness. You're going to see a lot of weaknesses, right? You're going to see how insignificant you are.
I feel so insignificant. I just don't feel like I'm a part of this church.
Yeah. That's exactly how you are according to the flesh. This shouldn't be a shock to you. That's who you are according to the flesh. But don't stay there. Don't judge yourself or regard yourself according to the flesh anymore. No longer. Now we judge ourselves according to the Spirit, and bless God, you are an eternal being. You are one spirit with God. You are holy, set apart unto God, a royal priesthood, his own special people, a chosen generation. That's who you are. You're amazing. Judge yourself according to the truth. Judge yourself according to the Spirit. Judge yourself according to faith in God and not according to what you see according to the flesh. Stop seeing yourself according to the flesh. See yourself according to the Spirit. Then what's going to happen? Then it's going to be easier to produce good works. Good things will flow easier out of your life, as assuredly as the love of God will flow easier out of your life towards others, because you're so in love with your life in God, not according to the world. You love your life according to God, not according to the flesh. Oh man, I'm saved. I'm one with him. I'm loved of God. He loves me so much he died for me. That's how much God loves me. Well, when I walk in that reality, man, you hear the birds twirping louder and the sky and the sun and everything's clear and life is good. Why? Because I'm good. I'm good. Hallelujah. I'm in God. I'm the God kind of good. I'm the righteousness of God kind of righteousness. That's the kind of good I am. That's the kind of good you are. And so it affects how you look at things. It affects how you respond to things. Now you're not touchy. You're not irritable. You're not fretful. You're not picky. If you're picking on yourself all the time, then you're going to be picking on everybody else. You don't want to be picking on everybody, do you? That's an ugly person. That's a person that's seeing themselves according to the flesh. You'll be picking and picking and picking. So if you see yourself picking on others, just stop yourself and say, well, oh, I must not like myself. I must not really value myself. I must be thinking pretty cruddy of myself. Right? You can judge yourself right away. Recognize, oh, man, I've gotten deceived here. I've gotten off track. I'm over here judging myself according to the flesh, and that's why I don't like anybody else, because I don't like me. That's the only reason why you don't like other people, because you don't like you. And not only are you supposed to like yourself, you're supposed to love yourself. You're supposed to love yourself. And if you're loving yourself, I mean, what's really going to get you down, right? You're going to be able to respond in love towards other people. You're going to be like a big wet sponge of love. Somebody slaps it and love splashes. Just love squirts out. Love just squirts out. How does love squirt out? It starts by loving yourself. Well, how are you going to love yourself? Stop judging yourself according to the flesh. And then what's going to happen? Then all those shortcomings, all those weaknesses, all those things of the flesh that need to get straightened out, now they have a better chance of getting straightened out. Because you're not judging yourself based on those things. You're judging yourself based on God, His Word, and what He's doing in you. And so you walk around positive and in faith, and as a result of that, the works flow out from your faith. So faith, we hear faith without works is dead. But yet we're not saved by works. We're not saved by our works. We don't judge ourselves based on our works. We judge ourselves based on the Word. We judge ourselves according to the Spirit. And when we do, we love ourselves. And when we love ourselves, we have faith in what God's doing in us and through us. And so what happens now? Works are the result of our faith. Works don't make us anything. Works are a result of what we know we are. So stop trying to clean up the mess and be a mess until your mess is cleaned up. Because you never get your mess cleaned up if you're a mess trying to clean up your mess. How can a mess clean up a mess when a mess is a mess? A mess cannot clean up a mess. But someone that is blessed, perfect, come on, wonderful, awesome, fearfully, wonderfully made. Now somebody that's just so wonderful can fix messes. Messes are easy. We just wipe them up. Throw out the dirty rag. But if you're the dirty rag trying to clean up the mess, you see what I'm saying? Ain't going to happen. That's why the counter just keeps getting worse every year. You're just smearing yourself. You're smearing the flesh. We're just smearing the flesh. There's so many zealous, smearing Christians.
I love God, Pastor, and I really want to get everything right, and I'm really taking notes, and I'm doing all these things.
And they just get, year after year, they're smearing, and finally it just gets to the point, it's like, the counter ain't getting clean. Nothing's getting any better. Now their zeal starts going. They start losing their zeal. They start losing their excitement. And then they go to picking. then their picking gets really bad. And they really start picking.
I guess I'm just never going to get it.
Right? Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, but when you stop trying to clean the counter with a dirty rag and recognize you ain't a dirty rag because the counter's dirty, but you recognize you're the righteousness of God and you're loved by God and you're wonderful right now where you are in the chair, you don't have to do another thing to get there. You already are beautiful and wonderful and amazing and something worth loving. Right now! Right now! You need to walk out of here in love with yourself. I give you the permission. It's hard to even hear that, isn't it? But see, we've got to get our mind renewed what we're talking about. You better believe it. Go out of here loving yourself according to the Spirit, not according to your do's and don'ts and how wonderful you are and what you die. Pick myself up by my bootstraps. Oh, it's the flesh. That's just the flesh. Don't judge yourself according to that mess. But when you stand there confident according to the Spirit, having no confidence in the flesh, but confident in the Spirit, confident and loving your life in God, saying, I am worthy of God's greatest blessings because he made me that way. He made me worthy. Friend, that does not upset God. That pleases God because that is someone that believes the truth and they're walking in it. And God knows you ain't going to get very far and do very much until you know that. So there's people, they've been treated like a dog, they've been beaten on, they've been talked down to, they've been condemned their whole life. And so as a result of that, they have this terrible image of themselves. Friend, thank God we can come back and find out the truth about ourselves. What's the truth about ourselves? We're awesome. You were awesome before you got saved. You are awesome. Even before you were saved. That's why God loved you before you were saved. He loved you while you were yet a sinner. He didn't die for you after he made you right. He died for you while you were a sinner. He looks at you and goes, oh, awesome. That's worth dying for right there. And meanwhile, according to the flesh, you're running around doing every kind of wrong thing. But God's not seeing that. He's seeing you according to the Spirit. And if we would see ourselves according to the Spirit, then the works of the flesh will change. If we stop judging ourselves according to the works of the flesh will change. If we really see ourselves according to how God sees us, God loves me. I am precious. I love me. I'm going to always be on God's side. God love me, I love me. I love me. Why don't you say that? Say, God love me. I love me. Hallelujah. And if he loved us while we were yet sinners, how much more now that we're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, new creations in Christ Jesus. If he loved us that, if he loved us back then, if we were amazing back then, we're even more amazing now. We're beyond amazing. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I'm wonderful, and I love me. Yes, Jesus loves me, and so do I. Hallelujah!
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.